Very good. We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 3 this morning as we begin a new series called Seeking Wisdom. Really, the purpose of this series is that we can encourage one another to pursue wisdom today so that it may be passed forward tomorrow. When we think about the role of moms and grandmas and honestly, all of us who are disciples in Jesus Christ, there is a responsibility to pursue God's wisdom and then to pass forward His wisdom to the next generation, whether that be children or those we are making disciples of. And so the question that I want us to think about this morning is really, when we need help, when we need answers, when we need direction, where do we turn? For many of us, we turn to Google. When we need help, we often return to Google or YouTube. You need to know I am not a car guy at all. I barely know any other cars on the road, like their name, model, brand, unless I've owned one in the past. I do good to get gas in it. And last week or 2 weeks ago, I went to get my oil changed. I at least know you've got to do that. And they told me that I needed a new air filter. And they did not have one in the shop where I was doing the oil change. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to go buy one and do this myself. That's monumental for me. And I know for some of you that are car people, you're thinking that's the simplest thing in the world. But 3 YouTube videos later, I figured it out, and basically I'm a mechanic now. No, not really. But you understand, when we need help, we often go to the internet or to YouTube to teach us what we lack in knowledge to do. And for many things, that is a good place to go and has become a valuable resource. But when it comes to needing wisdom for how to operate in this life God's way, I would say be careful what you search for on the internet. In many ways, the internet has become a modern-day Tower of Babel. It is a monument to our own pride of what we can figure out. And again, changing an air filter, good. How to make critical decisions in our life, not the best source for wisdom. And so where do we go for wisdom? Well, I want to look at a very famous passage about seeking wisdom, and it comes in the life of Solomon, David's son Solomon. And I'm going to be speaking about various parts from all of chapter 3, but for our purposes this morning, I'm going to read 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3 through 9 this morning. And this is what it says. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. And it was at Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" This is a fascinating passage because Solomon, if you read the first two chapters of 1 Kings, it's really Solomon's tumultuous and sort of difficult journey to maintaining and becoming king after David. And it leaves the reader wondering, does God endorse Solomon to be king? And so in chapter 3, the author begins to help answer that question. And so we hear another side of Solomon, sort of the peacetime Solomon after the rule has been settled among the people. And he begins to worship God. And he begins to proclaim, it is in the way that my father David was made a covenant with. You have been faithful. David was faithful. You were faithful. And now I find myself here. And God lays out a question. We'll come to unpacking a little bit further in the service. But the question is, ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. Wow. That is a big question. And Solomon, recognizing the challenges before him, says, well, I know how you were faithful to my father. I know my limitations. I am way too young to be in this level of authority and power. There are way too many people. I don't know what I'm doing. So God, if you'll give me anything, would you give me wisdom? And then after the passage we just read, God responds and said, you have chosen well. I mean, you could have asked for money. You could have asked for power. You could have asked for revenge on your enemies. You could have asked for long life. Yet you chose wisdom. And God says, because you chose wisdom, I'm actually, out of my own accord, going to give you all the other things you did not ask for. This is an amazing passage to me. It begs the question, if God had asked you or I, I'll give you anything, what would we have asked for? See, it's sort of a test of Solomon to reveal what kind of person he is, because in some measure, it takes at least a little wisdom to know what you don't know and then to ask for that. That's so critical. How many of us would be better off if we just acknowledged what we don't know and went and found out? And so this morning, for just a few moments, let's look through this passage at really four keys to gaining godly wisdom. Number one, recognize the need for a relationship with God. The first step of wisdom is recognizing our need for a relationship with God. Solomon says, begins this whole thing with worship and sacrifice before the Lord, saying, I want to worship God. In fact, Solomon, who asked for this wisdom, was given wisdom, and he wrote many of the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. And here is one. It'll be up on the screen. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning point of wisdom. Fools despise such wisdom and knowledge. The other implication would be fools do not fear the Lord. If you want godly wisdom, it comes out of a fear and worship of the Lord. Now, when we hear the word fear, sometimes we may think of afraid in terms of just like absolute terror, or like a horror movie, or walking in the woods late at night or something like that. But the idea of fear is a sense of God is so holy, I must tread carefully. Which makes it all the more amazing that in Christ we are told to go boldly into the throne room in prayer. But yet we fear the Lord. There's a healthy fear that when God speaks, we obey. But it comes from this relationship of fear and awe and reverence and worship. So many times, and probably all of us in the room could acknowledge this at some point in our life, we have neglected our relationship with the Lord. And then in a moment of crisis, have cried out for wisdom. It would be like a friend that you haven't spoken to in 3 years calling and saying, hey, can you give me advice about this situation? It's like, I'd love to, but I'm not connected. I don't know what your situation is. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't know your situation. I'm just saying that strangeness. Like next week is going to be our graduate Sunday, senior Sunday. And so many times when I was a student pastor, I would talk with students and we'd be 1 week out from graduation and they would say, I need help determining wisdom and what God's will is for my life. And it's like, well, have you been following him for the whole year at least? Have you been reading his word at all? Have you been praying? Have you been worshiping him? Are you acting in the way that is clear about his will? See, sometimes we just want to phone God up and go, help me get out of this jam. But understand, godly wisdom comes out of a relationship, which means God is teaching you wisdom all along the way so that when you come to the moment, God has already revealed to you the wisdom and the source of wisdom to act in that moment. And Solomon is worshiping the Lord, and he's making 1,000 sacrifices just to show, God, I worship you. I mean, if it had been someone else, it might have been one sheep because that was, you know, sort of the same, or 100 sheep or 10. But for Solomon, a wealthy man, the king, he said, this is what I give. I worship you. There's a relationship there. And so it is no surprise then that God then speaks to him. And so you have here those two truths. One, I already mentioned, worship begins with fear and worship of the Lord. But I want you to also understand before we move past this point, the truth, wisdom is meant to be passed forward. Notice that in this passage that Solomon, the reason he knows to ask for wisdom is because he saw it modeled in his dad. He says, you have been faithful to David. David was righteous and upright, and you honored him. Would you do the same for me that you did for him? See, David had modeled and passed forward where you get true wisdom. Not just for moms here today, but for every one of us in this room. What does it look like? How are we doing in modeling and passing forward the wisdom that God has given us? Can I speak just frankly for a moment? I appreciate the approval because I was going to anyway, but particularly in this service, we have a lot of people who are a little bit further down the road than in other services. Yeah. I was trying to tiptoe around that. But can I just say this? What does it look like? What does the church here at Harmony Hill miss when this generation is not passing forward the wisdom that God had given you? And I just, again, while I'm already in this, let me just say, sometimes a younger generation doesn't know what they don't know to ask for. And so you can't necessarily wait for someone to come and ask all the time. You know what would be really amazing? Is whatever life group you're a part of, if you were to call or seek out a life group that's made up of a younger generation and have quarterly get-togethers, start building relationship and start sharing what God has done in your life. Would you take the initiative to pass forward? We have so many incredible leaders and saints of the faith in this church. And who will we become in the next 15 to 20 years if we've not passed it forward? And before you get to thinking, well, I don't have this level of degree, or I'm not that smart, or whatever it is, wisdom has nothing to do with degrees or school or common learning. It doesn't have anything to do with how much money is in the bank or the lack thereof. Wisdom comes from a relationship from those who fear and worship the Lord. And so do not allow a non-barrier to be a barrier when thinking about passing it forward. For instance, just this week, I was walking to my office, and our maintenance man, Mr. Brian Swetnam, many of you know Mr. Brian, he's usually out at that door on Sunday mornings with the golf cart, at the very least with his cowboy hat on, white beard. You know who I'm talking about. Mr. Brian Swetnam came into my office, and he just asked me a simple question. He said, "Todd, do you think that there's anything wrong with using the term, when describing your spouse, significant other?" And honestly, off the top of my head, I said, I mean, I've heard people say that. I don't see a big deal about that. Well, then Mr. Brian said, "Well, okay, I just was checking. I guess for me, significant other just doesn't seem to honor my wife. I mean, she's my wife. Like, God gave me to her. She's been the rock in our home, and to just call her like significant other just doesn't seem to communicate what God has done in putting us together and in the way that she's helped raise my kids and we've done this together. Like, for me, I probably just won't use the term significant other." And I'm sitting here going, this man is dropping wisdom on me right now. Amen. And I'm not saying if you've used the term or if you will tomorrow describing your spouse significant other that you've committed some unpardonable sin. All I'm saying is, for me, he helped raise the IQ wisdom of how I refer to my spouse in honoring what God has put together as one. Now, if you were to look at our organizational chart, there's a lot of barriers that might have prevented Mr. Brian from coming and having that conversation with me. But see, wisdom doesn't regard organizational charts. So I say thank you to an older gentleman on our team for asking a question and then schooling me in wisdom about how I should refer to my wife. Number two. Thinking about godly wisdom begins with fear and worship. It should be passed on. But recognize your own limitations. I love that Solomon recognizes his own limitation. He says, "God, if you're telling me I can have whatever I want, here's what I know. I'm like a child who doesn't know what he's doing. I don't know how to come in and out of this job. God, I have great limitations. I could use wisdom and how to do my job." Look at the proverb here, Proverbs 8:26. "Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered." Amen. See, we can try to do it in our own strength, but that's the way of a fool. But to know what we are in our own limitations forces us to go to God to say, "I need wisdom so that I may be delivered." Here's the truth. Humility keeps us from exercising our right to be a fool. We all have the right to act like fools. But humility will keep us from doing that. Solomon had humility to say, "God, I don't know what I'm doing. I really need insight. For many who are parents, and I see a lot of like actual babies in the room, which is so cool. Many of you, you know, the days of babies may be gone by except to visit grandkids or great-grands. But I remember when we first had one of our oldest, I remember thinking, I thought many have probably thought, one, I probably should have read more baby books. And does she come with a manual? Because I don't know what I'm doing. God, I need wisdom. And I'm sorry for those that have little babies here, but it doesn't just stop there, because they become kids and then teenagers and young adults and then adults and start having kids of their own and all those kind of things. And you begin going, how do I help them? God, I don't know what I'm doing. I've never been in this moment before. Humility breeds wisdom. I'm going to move quickly. Number three, recognize that if you ask, God will give you the needed wisdom to fulfill your responsibilities. If you ask, God will give you what you need. So Solomon asks. He says, if you're really telling me I can have whatever, God, would you give me a discerning heart? Here's a proverb that Solomon wrote. How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. I think about that question that God asked Solomon. Ask of me whatever you will, and it will be given to you. If you and I had been asked that question, how would we have responded? There are times, to be totally honest, that I'll, you know, be just doing something mindless, and I'll let my mind drift to, if genies were real, what would I use my three wishes on? Right? You've all played this game, or maybe you've played it the, if I just got one lottery ticket and it cashed in for a $700 million or whatever you want it to be, and you start to think how you would spend it. I'll be honest, there's times if I was presented with wishes, a blank check from God, I'm scared I wouldn't have asked for wisdom. And yet, Solomon, who ended up having great wealth, said, wisdom should be desired more than rubies, chosen over silver, chosen over gold. And how often do we pursue those things that are not wisdom? Though God has not given necessarily a blank check to us, but by our actions, we have pursued things that are not wisdom. Now, does that mean that having money is wrong? That's not what he's saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, what do we desire? Is it wisdom? Because what's interesting is Solomon recognizes God has placed him in a position. And he's saying, God, would you give me what I need to fulfill the role you've given me? That is true of every person in this room. God has given you and I a role and responsibility. And we should ask him for the wisdom to equip us for everything that we need to fulfill that responsibility, whether that is a dad, a mom, a boss, an employee, a student, a child, whatever it is God has called you to. God, give me what I need. The book of James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask, and it will be given to you. God is saying, I'm not trying to withhold what you need, but you simply ask, and I will give you what you need. And so the truth here is to ask God for a listening and obedient heart. A listening and obedient heart. The word there means both. It's kind of weird. In Hebrew, the commentaries I was reading said this, that hearing and obedience stem from the same word. He's saying, give me a hearing and obedient heart, because we can't obey unless we have truly heard what we are to be obedient about. We need to ask God to give us hearing, listening, obedient hearts. And he even spells it out, that I will know the difference between good and evil. And then he says, and not only will I know the difference, but God, give me the ability to act in justice. You and I, we need wisdom. God, oh God, give us obedient, hearing hearts to know the difference between good and evil and to act justly. That's the prayer. And then lastly, and very quickly, number four, recognize the value of applying God's wisdom. God honors him by saying, you've chosen well. And then we get this story at the very end. I'm going to, very quickly, you can read it later, but that is a very famous story exercising Solomon's wisdom, but it is placed right after this request for wisdom simply to show that God had given wisdom. And you have two prostitutes who come, and they both had babies. And because of the sensitivities of Mother's Day, I'm not going to go into all of it. Some of you know it. You can read it later. But they come before him saying one of the babies is dead. Both women are claiming the right on the living baby. And Solomon says, we'll solve this real simple. Bring me a sword. We'll cut the baby in half, and each of you can have a part of it. And you can imagine the tenseness in the king's court that day with people going, I thought he prayed for wisdom. And immediately, the true mother says, no, no, she can have the baby. See, Solomon was never putting a baby at risk because God had given him the wisdom of a true mother's heart, which is she will endure more suffering in order for the child to live. See, at the very end of this entire chapter, after that, the fame of Solomon's wisdom went out all over. Amen. He was then known and recognized as a man of wisdom. And so the last truth to ponder this morning, do people consider you a person who walks in godly wisdom? Do people consider you a person who walks in godly wisdom? The way that you conduct your life, do they say, do people pick up on, they live with God's wisdom? Or do they live off of Google's wisdom? Or do they live off of culture's wisdom? Or do they live off of Southern wisdom? Or do they live off of whatever? Where do people see you getting your resource for living and making decisions in your life? I'm going to pray for us and we'll be dismissed, but I want to challenge you with two things as we go. This week, I want to encourage you, would you pray for wisdom? And then secondly, some of you have heard this, some of you have modeled this, some of you have done this, but if you've never done this, I want to encourage you. I know today's like May something, middle of the month, but typically Proverbs has 31 chapters, and a lot of people will read one chapter of Proverbs on the day of the month, for every day of that month. I would encourage you, just start on whatever today is, read that chapter on wisdom, and hear the wisdom of Solomon. And we're going to be looking at selections of Proverbs over the next 2 weeks in this series as we pray for personal, family, and church wisdom as we go forward. Thank you for being here today. I hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day. Let us close in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you that you are wise and that you are willing to share wisdom. Lord, this is not some secret knowledge, but it is godly wisdom that comes through your revealed word, through prayer, through your church. God, let us be a people of godly wisdom. May people in this community know that we do not seek wisdom from the internet, but from the Almighty. Lord, I pray for those that have big decisions that they're wrestling with. Lord, may they in fear and worship of the Lord seek wisdom this week in those decisions. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.